Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a COUG. I'm a COUG.
What up, Wazoo? It's your boy Tread, right? Had to give it to y'all again.
We'll let it run a little longer here. How we doing, Cougs? Good to talk to you again. This is the WSU Football Blogfather Show, Season 3, Episode 2. We did touch base a couple of weeks ago to see what's going on, and now we're giving it another shot. We were hoping to have a full roster tonight, but it's not going to happen, it looks like. It looks like it's just me and our good friend Sutra down Tuscaloosa way. How are we doing, Sutra?
Tenured Sutra now. So yeah, it's good. Tenured Sutra is a better Sutra. It's a new and improved Sutra. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it only took me about 10 years. Yeah.
I'm your friend. I know how it's been a grind, but explain what it means. What does it mean to be tenured? Like, are you –
well,
you're set, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Theoretically, like historically, it means that you have a job for life. So, you know, when you're on the decision side of the desk, it's a big decision because it's, you know, $1 million, $2 million decision. Historically,
wow.
Tenure is really only supposed to be about academic freedom. It's not supposed to be about job security. But at the end of the day, it just makes it extraordinarily hard to fire you if you are tenured.
Nice.
I got that going for me. But it's a, you know, it's a pretty,
they fit you with like a tweed jacket, like at the Masters, you know, they have a big ceremony with the jacket and like the leather patches on the elbows. Did they do all that?
Yeah, no, you know, Mrs. Sutra, the Kuba Sutra, set me up with a pretty choice brown corduroy blazer with patches. So I do have that now in the arsenal. But yeah, no, it's a good thing. It's a pretty rigorous process. You know, the deal is that they send you have to send your papers out to leaders in the field, and you get to, as a candidate, you get to select a couple of them, then your department and your dean selects the others. And so like a big part of the review process is what it is that these, you know, leading experts, senior scholars have to say about your scholarship. Cause the litmus test for tenure and promotion is a national reputation. The litmus test for promotion to full professor is international reputation.
Wow.
And in Alabama, there's something like, they require 7 or 8 external letters, and just, you know, as a basis of comparison, one of my former advisors went on to Harvard and they had to have 17 letters.
Jeez.
So that gives you like
unbelievable
sense. Like, yeah, Harvard's like, nah, you know, it's not good enough for us to be able to hear from 8 leading experts in the field. We need to hear from 17. And then if those are favorable,
wow,
then we'll think about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not just like
you
hop online
how, like,
for 30 minutes and answer a bunch of questions, and then they ship you. Congratulations, professor.
Yeah. It certainly isn't, you know, an internal popularity contest thing. It's not that easy. And then there's like 5 different levels of internal review. So yeah, so
nice.
it's great. Yeah, yeah. I'm super excited about it. So, you know, hashtag roll.
And you were in San Francisco for all this, is that right?
Yeah, no, I gave permission to my office mate that if the letters came in to go and do a quick screen grab of it. So yeah, so I was in San Francisco when the letter came in, and it was cool. Yeah, yeah, very
so
cool.
So what do we call you now? Professor, doctor, is it Dr. Lawson or Sutra? Or?
Well, who? What, huh?
We're still in make-believe land.
We start talking about Theo Lawson here. So we're
talking about Theo Lawson, yeah.
I could play the Idrit song again. You want to do that? There's the fight song. Okay. All right. So what do we call you? Doctor? Professor?
Doctors when you get your PhD. I mean, the thing is, when you're assistant professor, then you move up to associate professor. So my deal is that you just call me Ass Prof, but with like all caps.
Okay.
Ass Prof.
Just Ass for sure.
Yeah. Or you just Ass. Your AP is good. It's all good.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's great.
All right,
congratulations
there we go.
From all of us to you and. Yeah, that's great. That was great news to see that. So,
yeah, thank you, man.
All right. So, we last talked, a couple weeks ago, right? Was it 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago? What was it?
It was mid-March.
Yeah, I mean, I think
before
planned
even spring
it to be
ball,
a couple. It was like a couple weeks before spring, I think, or maybe it was even the week before spring practice
the week
started.
Of.
So now we got,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, yeah. So now we got a couple weeks. Underneath our belt, which treats me right because it gives me the late night video watching thing that I dig. So what do you think so far?
Well, I think I don't want to overreact to the scrimmage, but I think the scrimmage kind of went. I don't know. Did you weigh in on or did you see a lot of the recaps and stuff from the scrimmage?
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
Horrible weather first and foremost. It was brutal. I'm in the Seattle
right.
area. It was brutal here. And it looked pretty awful there, too. I guess, the first thing I focus on is the quarterbacks and who did what. And it just kind of sounds like a mixed bag, kind of like the weather, maybe. It didn't look like anyone really was outstanding. And they're all kind of muddled in there. And then, I kind of have this feeling that we're kind of waiting for this other shoe to drop kind of after the first couple of weeks. And this grad transfer is going to stroll in and I don't know if we're going to know where things are here, and even with the spring game, and not even 2 weeks now already. I mean, we're halfway through.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
I'm super geeked out, and I'm sitting there, the idiot that's like watching, the 2 minute practice recap things like 39 times, trying to be able to like see if I can, evaluate like whatever. I would say that at this point in time, I would put my head on a guillotine that Leach is gonna. Essentially declare, unless just the mountains get moved in the next couple of weeks, that Leach declares this an open competition going into fall camp, and it's going to be between Cam Cooper and Minshew. I just think that every single time that I watch Cooper throw, even when it is he's throwing interceptions and whatever, I mean, he looks like a kid that's trying to be able to figure it out. And every single time, like every single practice, everybody asks, so what does Cooper look like? And every single time, Leach essentially says he's doing a great job, except for the fact that he's trying to be able to learn, a package that these other guys have had 2 to 3 years to be able to learn. And then he pauses and says something to the effect of like, but he's like right with them. And you look at the quality of throws, and they show that, they show him throwing picks and forcing balls and whatever else. I mean, the SID is just sitting there and just hitting him with highlights. But it is so obvious about just the fact that just the arm talent is just, it's just a different level. And my view was that the way that he doesn't start next year is either Tinsley or Gordon came out of the gate and just lit it up, or this Minshew guy comes in and shows that he's just significantly ahead And then at that point in time, you know, they sit there and they have, you know, either Cooper red shirting or they just have him, you know, being the starter and waiting, and they try to be able to hold off as long as they can for him to be able to, you know, to be able to see the game from the sidelines and whatever else. But I would say that unless, you know, this Minshew guy winds up being like way ahead of the game, which he could be, then Cooper's going to be the guy.
Yeah, it does seem, I guess I would, I mean, at first I would definitely agree that my completely untrained eye, I can see that there is a difference when he throws the ball and then compare that to like the pack of the other guys. You know, that's kind of what it feels like to me too, watching what I've seen. Mm-hmm. It's like him, and then there's this pack of five behind him that nobody's really distinguishing themselves from him. The hesitation, of course, is that he's a true frosh, and that scares the heck out of me. But it's also super exciting too, because it's like, if he's the guy, what are we waiting for? You know, let's throw him to the wolves,
yeah,
and take some lumps, and then maybe by the second half of the season, and they're, you know, flirting with bowl eligibility, and he's making plays that the other guys can't, and that's what you want, I guess, out of that position. I mean, he's the most explosive guy, I guess, as far as the arm, but. I don't know. It's a weird situation to be in, because it's all the answers are not on the field, and that's unless we're making way too much of Minshew. But I mean, he was just in town. Did you see that story? He had visited over the weekend,
yeah,
I guess. So was there on,
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not. It's just hard to tell. And you know, then there's video of him that you see him playing, and some people have already dived into his highlights and pointed out, well, he's forcing throws too here, and he's doing the back shoulder fade there, and he doesn't look that great. He looks pretty good, but I mean, God, who knows? So I guess coming in, I was hoping we'd have a little bit more of a, okay, this is definitely the guy, or these two are definitely the guys, and we're going to really see it play out over the next couple of weeks, and by the spring game, maybe it's really apparent, but it just doesn't feel that way. So, but I agree with you on Cooper's arm talent for sure. There's no doubt about it. I think
yeah,
it's clear. Just seeing,
yeah,
the video
and
online. I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, even beyond that, you know, I think that if I think that one of the things to look for in the first couple of weeks is, you know, did, you know, Tinsley or Gordon, you know, come out of the gates and basically, you know, assert themselves as being, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. And they just haven't done that. There hasn't been any separation.
No.
And so at that point in time, you know, I mean, who are you going to go with? I mean, it really winds up being, go ahead.
No, I agree. I think you're right. I think it's those two guys and Cooper, Gordon and Tinsley.
Yeah.
I don't think,
yeah,
Neville or Bledsoe are really factoring in. And then you got to look at the kid coming in, didn't you? So, I mean, yeah, there's just like, are you going to have six quarterbacks competing? There's not enough reps in practice to go around for that many guys. So they got to have some
separation.
No,
I agree. And, you know, and speaking of Neville, I mean, I wonder if I mean, our role here is, you know, the old geezers of the blogosphere is not to do any hating on players, but you
no.
have to wonder at this point if we're going to hear about Neville transferring in the summer.
Right. Yeah. Would it be a surprise?
He seems like,
no.
Yeah. I mean, he seems like he is, yeah, buried way down. In fact, it seems like he's buried behind Bledsoe. I mean, it seems like he's actually number five right now.
Wow.
So yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, interesting. I mean, as they say, you know, you don't know, you know, how these guys are going to react to getting to that next level, and how they're going to react to difficulty and not being the guy. I mean, it's the whole thing's a real crapshoot. So we'll see. But I mean, I think that, you know, it sounds like, you know, the good news is that while there hasn't been any separation. And it's not like guys are going to be coming out and, you know, talking about, you know, how awful the quarterback play is. But it sounds to me like,
yeah,
they're all doing okay.
Yeah.
And that's encouraging.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. No, that's a good point. And, you know, Cooper he was under 50% passing. I can't remember what his exact numbers were on the in the scrimmage. So it's not like you know, he's not like, you know, 25 for 32 or something crazy. I mean, he's not lighting it up, but he's also moving the ball and some hitting on some big plays and throwing touchdowns, a couple of them. And so, yeah, there's no doubt he's the upside guy, but it's you wonder where that line is. So
ran for one.
Yeah,
hit Max Borgi on a shovel pass for like 51 yards. Speaking of which, I mean, quick segue away, but the highlights on the new number 21 are pretty phenomenal.
He looks pretty good.
I mean, he does. And there was one thing that I threw up on the Twitter. I don't remember. It's like yesterday or maybe it's a couple days ago. But Theo Lawson, here you were talking about earlier, put up a video. put up a video of like some shovel pass thing between Cooper and Borgi and 21. You know, got the rock, and he was 20 yards downfield before you could blink. And it was like, wow.
He's got those light feet, man. Yeah. He definitely does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you see that space. Yeah. And related to that, you know, I caught the red eye back from San Francisco on Thursday, I think it was. And watched little, you know, Steve Spurrier Jr. Interview, and he said that Roderick is starting off pretty well too. So, you know, it could be that so
he scored
that
in the scrimmage, I think, right?
He had a touchdown
in the scrimmage.
Yeah.
He did. So he didn't do much else, but I think. Yeah.
Yeah, one catch, 9 yards, touchdown. Yeah. All right. And then, and people are saying that Patman looks like a tight end, that he's gotten so much bigger and stuff. So, you know, I'm getting increasingly, you know, optimistic that they may be okay on offense. They're all right.
Yeah. They have some tools. I like that there's going to be competition in the backfield and, everybody can catch the ball. That's so important. So, yeah. I think we're going to be okay there, too. I agree. Of course, you know, my guy Martin, that's the guy on the outside that I really hope to see a huge step forward for him, what he can add.
Yeah.
Growing up after a year, I mean, who knows? The sky's the limit on that potential, but maybe it's that old saying, it's sometimes potential something you actually never see because you just hold out hope that it's going to get better. But he definitely has room to grow. He could be just crazy good, I think.
I agree with you. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And it sounds to me like, you know, that that Harris is doing pretty well on the inside, that they're actually, you know, and Winston is doing all right on the outside. You know, I don't think that receiver and those other skills is going to be a problem. I mean, Harrington looks good on all the little clips, you know, out of his little wheel route stuff. And, and Booby Williams had a good day in the scrimmage yesterday. I think it was Harrington that was saying in the post scrimmage interview, something about the fact that they've implemented some new run fits with the new offensive line coach and that's opening some things up. I think that there's room for optimism. I mean, I'm not talking about 8-win optimism, but I think that, you know, we were talking about before, you know, the road to 6, you know, that maybe it may be viable.
Yeah,
which is great.
You know, maybe we'll talk about that some other time, but we really get into the schedule and where there really is an opportunity and where it looks like it's going to be tough. But yeah. Yeah, no, I think you and I have talked about that before. I mean, there is a path, I think, to 6 also, but we'll see. What did you think on to shift the gear to the other side? What did you think of what you heard or saw about the defense?
I think that, you know, what is going to be interesting is what it is that, you know, that you all see when you actually go to the spring game, and obviously I'll be able to watch it on the tube. But I think that, you know, Clay's has been, you know, very consistent, and actually I'm really digging watching him get interviewed. You know, his big thing is that he says he's not worried about the D-line at all, and that he's really worried about the secondary depth. And, you know,
it seems
he said the exact
it?
Same. Yeah, totally. But, you know, the thing that he said, that he said, though, is that, you know, they've had a bunch of guys that are dinged up. And so, you know, I even wonder, you know, since they don't talk about injuries even in the spring, like, I even wonder who's even out there. I mean, the guys that they're talking about, you know, having such and such had an interception, it doesn't even sound like there's anybody on the two deep that is even playing.
Right.
I'm not trying to take that either.
Yeah, there's a lot of names. I'm like, who? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, if Grinch is still around, you know, my reaction might be to say, oh, well, that's fine, because what it means is that, you know, the guys that are lower on the depth chart are getting all these quality reps in the spring. But, you know, they've all talked a lot about the fact, and Clay's talked about it, you know, in his, you know, interview that, you know, we were talking about one time that he gave, I think, on KJR, and some other interviews that he's given, is that, you know, he's really he really wants them to be able to play a lot more man and to try to be able to disguise stuff a lot more than what it is that they did last year. And so those guys not being on the field, you know, that shrinks, you know, a third of the opportunity they have to be able to potentially implement one of the major wrinkles in the new defense. So that could be a big deal. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see who's out there when it is that you guys go.
Oh, at the spring.
What do you think?
Yeah. You know,
what do you think?
I'm pretty much there with you. I mean, I similar reaction on the names. I'm kind of scratching my head at some of them I've never heard of. But that, you know, what does that mean? I'm not going to bed every night staring at the two deeps. You know, I'm just. But there's a lot of new names, it seems like, and maybe with the new coaches, it's a lot of new opportunities too, and some people are taking advantage of that. It's just younger guys are getting a chance to make plays. I mean, maybe that's the bottom line. But I mean, I like Clay's too. I mean, he's a cool customer. You know, I love the energy of Alex Grinch and what he brought. And I mean, the guy's going to be a great coach somewhere someday. I mean, he already, who knows what his future holds. But I think we got lucky to have Clay's, really, now that it's a little time's passed and you kind of see the way things are. And, yeah, he's different. All the players talk about him being different. But it's not talked about in a bad way, at least on the record anyway. It doesn't sound like they're like, who the hell is this guy? You know, it seems like they're responding.
No,
so.
Yeah.
So,
no, my reaction to that whole thing is the same thing as, you know, as what it is that we had you know, we talked about before with Joe Salve. It's like, you know, I think that the Grinch to Clay's transition is the same as Salve to Phelps. I mean, I think that, you know, we're probably getting a better technician. And then the question is, you know, how much is Grinch going to develop, you know, and also the recruiting end, which I think is, you know, still is the big deal. It's like, you know, these guys are these great technical coaches, but can they recruit? So, and we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm sure we've had some pretty good technical coaches in the past who couldn't recruit with the damn. Doesn't really work out that well. So,
yeah. So
we'll see.
You know, it could be short term fine, and you know, long term maybe not so much. But you know, but you know, also, you know, being a winning program is also, you know, potentially, you know, helpful. So, you know, that's another reason why. You know, if you can take a down year and make it to a bowl game, I mean, that'd be really good. But it sounds like, you know, the JC defensive tackle, people are really high on him. Dallas Hobbs sounds like he's doing. He's now playing defensive tackle. And then we knew we were going to be good on the ends with Moore and Nnamdi and whatever else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
pretty
so,
good. Yeah, if we're healthy and all that.
Yeah.
And Derek Moore.
So,
those guys, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just have to kind of see about how things roll out. But I think that in some ways it's kind of seemed like a little bit of a low energy, you know, spring from a fan's perspective. But I think, you know, overall, I think it's been encouraging.
I think they're trying to move forward and focus on what's in front of them, control what you can control, and play the next play, all those cliches. But I think that's true. I think it's probably been really good for them in so many ways to get back out there and just go at it. And I'm back to the D line though. I'm really interested to see what it looks like on the games on TV, but seeing it in person too, and just they still feel real smallish. Name just even some of the pictures I've seen online, they just don't look, you know. That was the shocking thing with the bowl games and how small overall the Pac-12 looked compared to the rest of the country,
right?
And that's an area that I think my eyes are just going to naturally go right to right away, is what does it look like up front on the D line? Do they look like they could, you know, do some good things against like competition, or even, you know, not, you know, the Wyomings of the world, and maybe they can make some hay, or and then is it something where they could put something together and have a nice season, and then you run into a Michigan State or something, and you get, you know, you're on roller skates at that point. So I don't know. I want to see though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll see about, you know, what it is that, how does things look in 5 or 6 months. I mean, I think that you know, that we're gonna be, you know, of a similar, you know, similar makeup as we were last year. I mean, I think that we're going to be undersized. I mean, a couple of the linebackers look like they've gotten bigger. And so, you know, maybe that on that level, the defense will be bigger. I think that we're going to be small and fast though. And I think that, you know, the good news is that I don't really think, I don't think that anybody, you know, outside of, you know, the UW is gonna be making a huge transition in terms of personnel. So I think that, you know, the larger question, you know, is kind of over the long term is the memo is out to the Pac-12 that you better start getting bigger. So I think that obviously everybody's gonna start moving in that direction, but that's a slow process. And, you know, one of the things, you know, that we used to see with the big, you know, the Big Ten all the time is that, you know, we'd see, like, we'd watch them say, okay, well, we got to get faster, and they get faster and they get smaller, and they get their butts kicked, and they'd be like, we got to get bigger. And, you know, in the past, what they've done is they've gotten bigger and gotten really slow until last year, all of a sudden. And then last year they decided they were going to become the SEC. God, they were incredible. I mean, that conference was incredible last year.
Incredible.
And they'll be just as good this year too. I mean, it'd be amazing. I don't know. So beyond looking at the size of the line, what are the things that you're looking the most forward to in terms of the spring game in a couple of weeks?
Well, one thing I wanted to quickly ask you about though, because you remember at the Stanford game when we were in the field house and that team walked right by us. I mean, we were like three people deep. When you saw in person what these guys look like, and you also have regularly watched Alabama in person.
Yeah.
And you tell me what the difference is. You've seen it in person. What do you tell me? What jumps out to you? Is this size? Is it night and day? I mean, it looks like it is on TV. I've never seen Alabama in person, but you've been to games. You've seen what they look like up close.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know that's next level
stuff there. That's a farm team for the NFL, but
no, you know,
probably not fair to even compare it.
Well, you know, I think that the with Alabama is that it's not only the size issue, it's, you know, it's a combination of size and speed. But it's similar to us in the sense that, like, you see guys that you think are like going to be like these big guys, and they're just not very big. And then you see other guys, you know, who are, you know, who you think may not be that big, and they're just, you know, like, you know, totally, you know, freaking ripped. I would say that I was, you know, my reaction watching the actual game was that Stanford and Alabama physically looked pretty much the same to me. And obviously the speed issue was obviously very different. But when I was actually, you know, watching, you know, as the game was played, it looked to me as if, like, physically we were watching, you know, pretty much the same team. And yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you had Holder and Meeks, you know, in the secondary. I mean, those are NFL, you know, defensive backs, some big dudes, and Harrison Phillips in the interior. I mean, some,
you know what I think,
you know, you look at, I mean, but you know, so, you know, it's not as if like the Pac-12 doesn't have players. I mean, you know, Vay and Harris are, I think, you know, two out of the top five, you know, defensive tackles in the draft coming up. I mean, they're legit big time players. I think the bigger issue is just, you know, is just the depth, you know, whereas you're just constantly, you know, rotating in waves of, you know, instead of having, you know, one or two 310-pound defensive tackles, Bama has eight, you know, and three that are redshirting, you know, I mean, so.
Yeah, and they're all B of A's.
Yeah.
You know,
so
pretty damn good, too.
But obviously, I mean, when you know, you look at the highlights of us versus Stanford, and you know, Leach's comments afterwards. I mean, it's pretty amazing that we're going toe to toe with those dudes, because they really were a heck of a lot bigger. And it's just, you know, quickness and coaching and scheme, and I think that we'll have to, you know, rely on that again. It sounds like they're doing the same shift thing, albeit with some, you know, some wrinkles. So yeah, I mean, I think you kind of see the speed D 2.0, which would be cool, I think.
Well, we probably caught them at a really good time too. It was the running back who he was coming off the injury. They almost lost Oregon State the week before. Weather was crap. I mean, there's a lot of things. Stuff was lost, but we made some great.
Yeah, but we also could have like totally, you know, run them off the field too. That was like another one of our USC game where like you look at the stats and it's just like, how is that game close? I don't know. It'd be interesting. So no other things besides the line stuff for the spring game.
Oh, and of course the quarterbacks. I want to see how they play.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to see if somebody grabs completely, shines, or at least makes a real move. I guess that's the main thing. I want to see if somebody really makes a move and really positions himself to be the guy along with Minshew, and maybe, if it's not Cooper, if one of the other guys, Tinsley or Gordon, one of the other guys come through big time. I want to see it. And I want to see more. I don't really care about the stats. I want to see if they're making good decisions. And if the thing's coming out quick, that's what I want more than anything else. Get the ball out. You know, I just, the most aggravating thing watching with some issues with Falco is that holding the ball and holding that ball and holding that ball and patting it and moving it. Just want it out. And I know that isn't the way it's always predicated to be in that offense. I know there's a lot of different things going on, a lot of moving parts. The receivers are deciding where to go, and some things just take longer to develop, and the quarterback's got to hang in there and wait sometimes. And I know that's part of the deal. It's not fast break football, you know, it's just not. But I hope that it's a parent who's making the right decisions. That's the biggest thing to me. And yeah, you're going to miss balls. Guys are going to drop balls, or someone's going to get lit up and drop the ball or whatever. But did they make the right decision to get the ball out? Did it get to the right place? Did they make the catch? You know, I want to see all that. Those are the biggest things for me. What about you?
I'll go a little curveball-y and say that I'm interested in seeing the linebackers and also the rush linebackers. We kind of have maybe an embarrassment of riches there, and so I'm interested in kind of seeing about how it is that they all play and seeing Kalura back on the field, and then really, with the short haircut, and I'm interested in that rush linebacker position too. I mean, they have Chima, I think, is now a senior, and you know, I've seen a couple highlight things of him, and he looks like he's put on, you know, a lot of muscle. So I'm interested in seeing him. And then, you know, the other guy that the coaches were really high on last year, that Manning was really high on last year, is Willie Taylor out of Georgia. That, you know,
oh, yeah.
I remember you talking about the changes in recruiting philosophy that the UW had towards the end of Sark, and really with Chris Peterson, about how against those spread offenses, you know, that they're looking to be able to get those linebackers that are all, you know, kind of the 6'3", 6'4", 220-pound types that are like these really kind of rangy, almost kind of tight end types that can really
super
cover
long.
A lot of space, but are also really long. And Willie Taylor is that guy. I mean, he's like, he's got that, you know, those measurables that are very, very SEC-like, which is why I think, you know, that Manning poached him out of Georgia. So I'm really interested to be able to see if he plays and to kind of see about how it is that he looks.
What have you seen of him so far? Have you seen anything online? Any video of him?
I haven't seen anything. No, nothing. I mean, beyond the lip service stuff. And actually, I full disclosure, I actually met his parents on the way out to be able to watch our game in November too. So there's a little familiarity bias potentially there, except for the fact that honestly, you know, Manning was really, really high about him all through Thursday Night Football last year. And his measurables are eye popping in terms of the length stuff, and you know, that's obviously part of the equation, all else being equal. So it's such an unknown, given the fact that, you know, that we lost, you know, our top two at that position. It'll be interesting to kind of see about how that shakes out, and I think Luvu, you know, looms as one of those guys that is potentially a huge loss. You know, we all think about, you know, Hercules and Aquali on the inside, but Luvu put in what was pretty much a heck of a season last year. He was pretty phenomenal.
He did. Yeah. And he had those measurables too. He was good size. So no, he will be a loss, and maybe overshadowed by the other two, but yeah, you're right. That's absolutely cool. So, but it's an opportunity too. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, my man. Well, I think that's about it for this week. Unless you had anything else, I think we can call it.
I'll look forward to our, you know, post spring edition in a couple of weeks after we get to, you know, see how these guys close out and see what, you know, things look like and what, you know, probably be a rainy and, you know, 45-mile-an-hour wind at
that.
At Joe Albee, but the classic spring game.
I know. We'll start at 60 degrees, and everyone's in shorts, and then by halftime, half the thing is empty, and people are headed for the hills.
Sidewise hill.
I've been to a few of those.
Yeah.
But we will be there. We're RVing over, and we will be set up. So look forward to it.
So for our listeners, be looking out for the RV and hot times. All right, man.
Yeah, actually, we're getting it dewinterized, so that'll be like our first trip of the spring to get it out. So,
good trip
over the mountains, and look forward to it.
Awesome.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, let's hang this puppy up so us old folks can go to bed.
That sounds good.
All right.
I hope
man.
We can get to Huddy and Shaney on the line here at some point. We'll check
we're
back
not
in
them.
See if we can. Yeah,
we're
we'll make it happen. I'm sure. We'll make it happen.
So. It's all good. I'll talk to you in a second.
All right, man. Have a great night.
All right, bye.